Gary Bader Show, 10:35. As I cautioned, at 5 minute bottom of the hour breaks just aren't as long as they seem. We are back with our sixth congressional debate. Again, that's the Republican candidates in the primary for the nomination for the sixth congressional district being vacated by Congressman Tom Petri. First hour, if you missed it, again, it'll be archived audio and video at GaryBaderShow.com. Dealt a lot with what I call the dynamic of the race. In the second hour, we are going issue by issue. And as I let the candidates know before the break there, we are going to be discussing Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan's anti-poverty plan. The congressman last week unveiled a plan that many were taken by surprise by. It is seen as a moderation, but it was otherwise a fiscal conservative, a move to the center. It's budget neutral. In other words, it doesn't cut poverty programs. It includes an element that in some fashion a block grant, but doesn't shrink the government or the dollars in any way when it comes to how the government deals with poverty. We will start first with Senator Grothman. Senator, do you see this as a more moderate, just right-of-center plan, and can you support it?
Well, there's certainly a lot about it I like. Congressman Ryan has pointed out that we have so many anti-poverty programs out there that people are not aware all that's going on. I think the more programs you have, the more likely there is for abuse, and I applaud him for that. And like I was saying, Representative Ryan is a policy wonk, and I like that about him. Was a little bit concerned what he's doing with the earned income tax credit. The earned income tax credit today, right now, frequently gives people a check of $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000 in one shot. And I've been very involved in the welfare situation myself over the last few years. And I hear that, you know, when you give somebody an $8,000 or $9,000 check, that's not something people in poverty normally get, and it can be spent foolishly. So I think we have to maybe spend a little more time looking at that earned income tax credit. And I think the earned income tax credit, like so many poverty programs, not only is a little bit too generous sometimes, but it has a strong marriage penalty. I'm going to stress again the two things we want to look at in that plan. First of all, today it is possible for a single parent to get cash benefits equal to $35,000 or $40,000. That is too much. It is too much of a carrot not to work, and it is too much of a carrot not to get married, because if you marry somebody with a decent job, you lose all your benefits. And that is something that I think has to be stressed very much in a change to any plan. I hope he's going to apparently give the states more freedom. I hope he does. One of the big problems we have in the state of Wisconsin is right now the anti-poverty money we get is part of something called TANF, in which we are forced to spend that money whether we want to or not, or we lose all the money. And I, at least in my opinion, I think sometimes the state winds up spending money they don't want to spend, because if we don't spend it all, we lose it. So I think more flexibility for the states is a good thing, less programs is a good thing, and that's kind of my in general opinion of it. But I do think we have to be very, very aggressive in dealing with this, because we are doing the next generation of children no favors by having two generous plans where they are more likely to be raised in a non-nuclear family and more likely to have as role models people who aren't working.
Representative Strobel.
Well, I've seen the plan, and I believe that Congressman Ryan has that out there for discussion. It's to have a discussion, to have a dialogue about the issues, because certainly there's a lot of problems out there. And I think he brings up some very good ideas in his plan. And I give him credit for doing that, for having a plan, for having a roadmap, for having something we can have a discussion on. And again, I'll bring up my plan that I have, and that's how I think you fix problems. You have a plan, you have a roadmap, and in fact, I've referenced in my plan what the Ryan plan is that he has recently come out regarding the whole situation of entitlements and the safety net. And there's a lot of innovation in there that's good. The private sector, involving the private sector more so in this type of area. Efficiencies, combining government agencies. There's so much duplicity there. There's so much wasted money that we can certainly be more efficient. And I think that's where we need to be to have this discussion. And, you know, I applaud him for that. And just as my plan talks about regulation, taxing, and spending, that's really what his plan talks about in terms of reforming these areas too. So, you know, I really believe that in Congress, we've got a champion in this area of reform. So, you know, again, I know Senator Grossman really focuses on that, but I'm quite frankly going to be hanging my hat with Congressman Ryan and the innovative ideas that he's been advancing and the discussions that he's talking about. I really like the direction that he's going with a lot of these things. There are some things in here that I don't like, but again, it's for discussion purposes, and that's where it should be. I want to be a leader in Congress, and I think there are certain things that you need to do to be a leader, just like Ron Johnson is a leader in the Senate. And that would be my approach, a very business-like, business plan approach, everything thought out, everything put down, so we can have intelligent discussions about issues and not just throwing around platitudes.
Senator Leibom.
Well, we need to end the cycle of poverty in this nation, and we need to do that first and foremost by requiring work. Everyone has individual abilities, and we need to require that those abilities be used to work and to, with that work, earn some income that they can use to be able to support themselves. And again, I think it's one of the things that pains me greatest about what's happening in this nation is that we're allowing so many of our fellow citizens to get trapped into government entitlements and taxpayer-supported help, and losing that individual momentum and belief that they can support themselves and that they can, you know, work to control their own destiny. And so that has to be kind of the overreaching goal of everything that we do, is that we are going to require individuals to work. And through that work, they'll earn some support, but they'll also earn an income that they can then have the best control of their life and their destiny. I respect and have had the opportunity to read through the Congressman's plan. I think, again, like my colleagues have shared, there's some good things in there. There's some things that need further discussion, and they fall short. I like the fact that the Congressman, as I've shared, would require benchmarks and requirements for individuals receiving benefits to be proving that they are working to find an even greater self-supporting opportunity for themselves and for their ability to be able to earn an income. I like the fact of consolidating the different programs and allowing states through vouchers to be thinking outside of the box in regard to how we can best address the needs of the individuals that we're trying to help. And I like the fact that we'd be trying to have some requirements in place for the states in regard to how they're using those dollars, accountability to the states to make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck. But in the end, again, the best thing that we can do to get people out of poverty is to grow this economy and to have more businesses and more jobs here in Wisconsin and in America so that people can work. And that's what I'll be striving every day to do, is to try to, you know, unleash free enterprise in this nation and grow our American economy so that people can have that opportunity to work.
Mr. Dino.
Having worked with business and industry and in business and industry, I see the need for process controls and to streamline and make things more efficient. And I think what Representative Ryan has done here is do that. He's taking a lot of different programs and trying to put them together to make it work and become more efficient. One of the things, too, is to get more of these people, get them into jobs, and that'll take them off the welfare programs. Having been an instructor at the technical college, in the technical college system, I see many times there are classes with very few students in, and there's a need for the education of these of people so that we can fill jobs that are out there that are necessary. So if we can streamline it and help get these people into some of these jobs, I think it will be a benefit for everyone.
I want to point out one of the problems we have under the current system. Because of its generosity, it in some cases, particularly the earned income tax credit, encourages people to work, but not work too hard. And one of the things you hear when you talk to employers is people know the current steps that are in there, which are always going to happen when you have such a generous program. You know, maybe I can make $12,000 this year. I can make $15,000 this year. But if I make more than $15,000 a year, it'll dig into my food stamps or dig into my low-income thing or it'll dig into the earned income tax credit or whatever, and I don't want to work harder. The underlying problem is that the current system, if you look at the arithmetic, it's just a fact, is too generous. And one thing after the other. On the food share, you talk to people who work at the at the food stores, and they'll tell you that frequently the people on the system are eating better than the people working in the food stores. On the low-income housing, this new low-income housing is better than the older apartments that are out there. What we have, Badger Care, whatever you have for the low-income health insurance without the deductibles and copays, is more generous than people have who are working. So you have to explain to the public that the problem with the current system, even if you don't cheat, and tons of people cheat as well, but even if you don't cheat, you are setting up benefits that are more generous for people on the system than not. And until you are willing to accept that, you're not going to have the decent reforms that you have. Plus, everything has to be subject to a marriage test, which it hasn't been done in the past at all.
Okay, any other follow-ups on that? Representative Strobel.
I do. Well, we are a compassionate country, and certainly that's always been our characteristic here. But I do believe that the safety net is too high, that it can be a disincentive to work. And I think this is a great plan that I think Ryan is looking at that will move us into a situation where people are more willing to take the hand up and not the hand out. I've heard Congressman Ryan talk, and really, it all comes down to growing the economy, providing opportunity, providing jobs. And that's really what we need to focus on, and that's what I hear in the 6th Congressional District all the time. And again, coming from the private sector, that's the skills and expertise that I have to offer that we need so much more of in our government, especially in Washington, D.C. right now today to accomplish.
Right. Well, we also need to focus on fraud and misuse within the system, because there's a lot of that that's happening right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a young mother come up to me and she said, you know, Joe, I had to go on to food stamps because my husband lost his job, but I'm actually getting more than I need. And I've been trying to return those dollars back to the state, and they won't allow it. And so she was having to use those dollars to stock her freezer with stuff that she didn't necessarily need. And again, that's just ridiculous that we can't have a system that, again, tightens the requirements, enforces strong anti-fraud measures, and is realistic in regard to the benefits that are providing. And again, all that should be geared towards getting individuals back up on their own feet. It shouldn't be a safety net. It should be like a trampoline. When an individual's falling and going through some rough times, we're there to help them, but we bounce them back up on their own feet and require them to be responsible for themselves.
Okay, Mr. Dino, we'll give him a follow-up, and then I do want to get to the next topic. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I just pretty much agree. We just need to, you know, streamline the system and just try to reduce some of the fraud and get people back to work.
Okay, Representative Strobel gets the next question first. The seemingly official position of Republicans in Washington concerning what is perhaps the biggest political issue outside of foreign affairs right now, in the second term of the president, is Obamacare. The official position seems to be repeal and replace. Is the first one even possible, repeal, and replace it with what? Representative Strobel, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, we need to repeal it because it's unsustainable. It will not work. And the sooner we can change it, the better, because quite frankly, I believe where this administration is leading people down the path to oblivion on this thing, and we need to fix it. We need market-based solutions that are going to provide better care at a more affordable price. Certainly, we had some issues with healthcare before, but going down the road of a single-payer socialized medicine, which is really where this is heading, is wrong. It takes away the doctor-patient relationship. It really just, it's a top-down mandate that just takes away freedoms from the consumer to make medical decisions. And it needs to go away. We need to look at things, high-risk insurance pools, more portability, tax credits, again, more transparency. There's a lot of selling insurance across state lines. Again, let the free market work, do the what it's supposed to do. I'm not saying go back to where we were. There certainly are reforms that needed to be made. But again, going the direction with mandates and the government telling us and people losing their doctors, people's insurance going up, and all the bad things that are coming around, you can just see there were so many promises with this plan, and it's not panning out. It's not working. So we need to get another plan now.
Senator Lipom.
For the sake of our nation's economy and for the sake of providing actually more affordable and accessible health care to the citizens of this nation, Obamacare needs to be repealed. It is flawed from its concept that it's going to provide more affordable care. And quite honestly, with all due respect to the United States Supreme Court, I think it's flawed constitutionally as well. And I think it's a violation of our Constitution that the government of a free people can, you know, dictate that we purchase a certain item or at a certain level or be penalized. And again, I think that we need to be fighting. Hopefully we'll get a United States Senate that respects that and understands that, and we'll be able to move forward with the repeal of Obamacare. But then we have to have alternatives as to where we go. And it's not replacing it with more government. It's replacing it with free market solutions. And those solutions can be very aggressively moved forward. We've got to, I would propose that we allow individuals to deduct 100% of their health care expenditures from their taxable income at the federal level. We do that for businesses. Let's put our money where our mouth is and allow individuals to have that deduction as well. Let's allow insurance to be purchased across state lines. Open up competition so that we can get the best, most affordable insurance that's available to us. Let's push, you know, preventative care opportunities and wellness programs so that we can reduce the cost of health care. Let's hold hospitals to good lean standards so that they're providing the most efficient care. Those are the types of things that we can do and work to incentivize, work with the private sector to ensure that we're providing the most affordable care available, the best care available to the citizens of our nation.
Mr. Dino.
It may just fall on its own with the court's decision with the way things are going, so it might not be necessarily just for a repeal. But there's other things, I think, as Republicans, we have to have something in place in order to have solutions that are a lot of things like have been stated already, but also malpractice. We got to look at malpractice should be added into one of the things that we're looking at. I also feel something along the line of menu pricing should be available in the healthcare industry. You can look at and see what you're going to have. If you're going to have a CAT scan or something, what is it going to cost? And then you have more competition between the particular providers so that they can tell you exactly what you know. Right now in our system, half the people don't have a clue of what they're paying for what they're getting.
Senator Grothman.
It should be repealed. A couple comments on what my colleague said. First of all, we have to go market-based. I give statistics out every one of these debates, but I'll give it out again. In areas in which people have to buy into their own health care, LASIK surgery and cosmetic surgery, the cost has fallen overwhelmingly. It's fallen overwhelmingly like other technical related things like electronics or that sort of thing where the cost falls. Right now our medical costs have not fallen because too much of it, particularly through government health care plans, there's no buy-in by the population, they're not paying attention to what the individual costs are, and as we go with more HSA sort of plans, including plans like that for federal employees, I think we're going to have more competition on price among the clinics and the doctors. I don't believe in pushing wellness programs. I think that's kind of a big government-y thing, and I don't think we have to give the hospitals more standards. If you have a genuine free market system in which people are paying attention to how much individual things cost or how much tests they're having, I think that takes care of itself with less government. Interesting that Canada Dental brought up the medical malpractice thing. Just want to point out, as a politician should, I was the leader in solving one of the medical malpractice things called informed consent in the last legislative session. So it was another bill that I was happy to be out in front of, and it'd be nice on a national level if we had more of that sort of thing.
All right, the hour goes short, and there is a question that I definitely want to get in. So we're good. There was general agreement there, so I do want to move on. It was widely believed that Eric Cantor would be succeeding John Boehner as House Speaker. That's not going to happen. Mr. Cantor is not going to be in the House of Representatives. And it's anticipated that Mr. Boehner will seek the speakership again, assuming, of course, that Republicans hold the House. Would you support Mr. Boehner continuing as Speaker? And Senator Leibum, we'll start with you.
Well, as a new member of Congress, I would listen to what Mr. Boehner is presenting as to his leadership and his thoughts in regard to how he can best lead the Republican majority forward during what's going to be a very important legislative session. But I would also be open to other individuals that are out and considering running for that speaker and that leadership post. again, this is an important position, and we need to have a strong leader that is going to stand strong on our conservative principles and stand strong for what Republicans need to be fighting for out in Washington, D.C. And I think the caucus as a whole, under the leadership, and quite honestly, the Republicans as a whole out in Washington haven't been aggressive enough in that regard, talking about why our conservative principles are best for individuals, for our nation. And that's what we need a leader to do. Again, I'd have that opportunity to hear the different candidates, and then I would cast my vote in regard to who I think can best lead our party and help our nation move forward.
Mr. Dino.
As with any decision that you make, I think you need to research it and look at what's going to be the best solution. And I would look at whether we had somebody to replace the speaker. I would look at that. And right now, I really don't. I feel like I support Boehner, but I would look and see if we got somebody else who would be better qualified, then possibly go from there.
Senator Grothman.
I'd be looking for somebody else. I'll tell you, it's very frustrating when you see these guys on television. They're not doing a good job of articulating a Republican message. That's why the polls show that Congress is so unpopular. I think if you do a better job of explaining a better job of articulating the problems of the debt, a better job of articulating the problems of the regulation, a better job of articulating the out-of-control welfare system, I think our Republican Congress would become more popular and they'd gain more momentum. Under current leadership, again and again, as you get around the 6th Congressional District, as you can tell, just if you ever, watch these guys yourself, they are not doing a good job of articulate job and charismatic job of pushing a conservative agenda. And until they do that, I don't think we're going to get we would have a much better chance of getting a Republican president, a Republican Senate, if we do have a more articulate, consistently conservative, common sense message coming out of the leadership of the House. So I'd be looking for somebody else.
Representative Strobel.
Well, I don't know who that somebody else would be, but I'd certainly be looking for that somebody else too. So I couldn't patently say no to Boehner because I don't know who else would be there. But I certainly hope there'd be a viable alternative to Boehner. Because again, I do believe that we need more conservative leadership. We need a different way of thinking than we have right now, a different way of thinking that is going to change the way we operate our government, and it's going to ignite our economy. And I think that, we're not getting the type of leadership that I'd be comfortable with, and I think that we're seeing that, in the ratings of our Congress today. So I would very much like to see an alternative to Mr. Boehner in Washington, D.C. in that regard.
All right, and with that, we are again between the rock and the hard place. It's about, on my watch, about 10:56, which I really don't want to get into another question. It would rush all four candidates, so we are going to have to leave it at that. So I'll just finish up with some housekeeping. Again, this will be archived, the video stream and the audio, at jerrybadershow.com. You can also see what people are saying about it on Twitter at jerrybadershow. Again, for those of you who live in the 6th Congressional District, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think you're blessed with a field of very high-quality candidates, so please make sure to vote on August 12th in the primary. And it's very critical that you get out again, and whether or not you live in the 6th, I think it was very important to hear the issues that all of the candidates weighed in on today. So I want to thank them for their participation. And I know they've done a number of these, and we appreciate them. Those who are already serving in office and those who aspire to, we understand the dedication that it does take. Again, I want to thank Dual Financial Strategies for sponsoring today's debate. And again, if you have missed it, you can find it all at jerrybadershow.com. Talk to you tomorrow.
Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.